Yeah, the church is leaning a little bit today. Well, we got a few more sheep over here. All right, let's turn to Exodus. We're back to the commandments. Exodus, after a while. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. In the mid-90s, Pope John Paul III, or second, I think it was, he made a statement about the societies in the world. And he said those who commit abortion and euthanasia are cultures of death. Cultures of death. And he used that to describe those nations, those societies that did not show forth the sanctity of life, that they devalued life. Later on, some conservatives got together and they said that they used that phrase to describe America as its culture, and it had very little regard for human life. The way we're willing to experiment with unborn human life, the way we're ready to dispose of human life unborn, the way that we treat human life with little respect in the killing of others. You don't have to listen too much to the news today, or hear it, or read it, where we have killings all the time. All the time. And some of it is for reasons that are crazy. Some do it, and you ask them, and they just do it for the pleasure of doing it. Some kill for, I think it was last week, they had a pharmacist that killed his wife in Tennessee. Just killed her. Called up, I guess the SBI, the FBI called them, the police station, who it was, called them, and told them that he had just killed his wife. And they said, is she dead? Well, he said, yeah. And he said, she was the devil. And I am the Son of God. He killed her. This is a pharmacist now. I mean, he had a certificate. He had pharmacy license. And then, you know, and I don't know, I hadn't kept up with it that much lately, but you got the one that was killed in the parking lot of Walmart, I think it was, for a parking place. Now, I don't know all the exchange down or anything about it, but still, I'm thinking, what in the world? And you hear people killing people just for nothing. Now, you top that with the abortions and all that takes place. And so, yes, America seems to be a society, it's like the culture of deaths. Well, here's the thing. When it says, thou shalt not kill, is that generic? You know, you go in the store sometime and you get socks or whatever and it says one size fits all. Is that the case with this? Thou shalt not kill. No. No. There are over 8 different words for kill in just the Old Testament. And so we have to look at it and understand what it is saying here. There are many that will use this against capital punishment. There are many Christians have appealed to this command as a basis for pacifism. Then there are those who have used this for the treatment of animals. And therefore they become vegetarians. So what about this commandment? What does it mean and what does it not mean? That's what I want to know. Because remember, we said here a while back on Wednesday night, we said God's word can be distorted if we're not careful. And we can rip something out and text tearing. Of course, we know the text that this is in. But we have to understand the text of the other words in Scripture. Because we as Christians of all people should respect human life. But we also should also obey God's word and put ourselves under the authority of God's word. So we want to look at this and understand this is not a generic term here. This is not a one-size-fits-all commandment. So what is he talking about when he says that? The word kill in this verse is the Hebrew word ratzach, R-A-T-Z-A-C-H. And it means to murder, to slay, or kill. To murder, to slay, or to kill. It is never used in legal actions. It is never used with military actions. Nowhere. Not this term. Now remember, there are 8 different terms. There are other words that are used for death sentences. There are other words that are used for killing in a war. There are other terms. This word here is never used of hunting and killing animals. Sacrifices in the Old Testament, every day they did that. And the word for that, the Hebrew word, is shakat. Shakat. When you see that, you go through Leviticus. Actually, when you go Exodus, Leviticus, and talking about the sacrifices, that's the word. And they would kill the sacrifice. This word has nothing to do with killing animals. It has nothing to do, say, we're not to kill animals. The word shakat was for killing the sacrifices or to eat animals. In Ecclesiastes 3:3, it says, there is a time for killing. Now that's another word. There is a time for killing. It is the word harag, H-A-R-A-G. The meaning of that word is to kill, to slay, or to destroy. So right now we've got 3 words already that are totally different. So again, and this word here in Ecclesiastes 3:3, we have this word, there's a time to kill. This word that we are looking at here, though, in Exodus, can also speak to manslaughter. It can also speak to manslaughter, such as accidental deaths. And remember, that's why, turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 42. Then Moses, 41, then Moses severed 3 cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in time past. It was accidental. Now notice, he didn't do it because he hated him. He didn't do it because of anything against him. And that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. They would go, and there were cities they could go to if they had committed an accidental murder. So God included in his law for that type of killing, an accidental killing. So when we come back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, this is talking about unlawful or immoral killing. Unlawful or immoral. Now, the problem is here it doesn't give us any detail. Doesn't give us anything. It just says, thou shalt not kill. But there's a problem with that. And we can go to several places in Scripture and show that's a problem. There is a problem with that being a one-size-fits-all. So here's this thing that's in detail. Now the question arises. And here's what makes this come to the forefront. This verse. Thou shalt not kill. Four words. Comes to the forefront. And so many ask the question, well, what are you going to do about suicide? Is it right or wrong? There's some people say it's okay. Isn't that killing? Isn't that taking a life? What about capital punishment? We can go to the New Testament and show where that's legal, certain cases. What about abortion? What about euthanasia, mercy killing? What about self-defense? How about war? How about pulling the plug, somebody in the hospital? And that's always been very, very tough. Very tough. I remember being probably 20 years ago, we went down, BJ went through a whole week of that perspective from doctors and lawyers and took a whole week class on that. What do you do? What is the ethical thing to do? And what is the difference between killing and letting die? So it becomes very ethical. And as Christians, we want to do what's right because we believe in the sanctity of life. So that comes into play here. It comes into play, brings it to the forefront. So it's very important we understand what it really means, where it can be applied and where it cannot be applied, and where we submit to God in all things, even in this area here. So the commandment here is very simple, very clear. It's thou shalt not kill. And in the Hebrew, you look it up, it means unlawful or immoral killing or murder. You could put thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill unlawfully. Thou shalt not kill immorally. Thou shalt not murder. So you can do that. It is wrong to take the life of another person in an immoral, unlawful way. It is unlawful to do that. That's the idea of this word here. We, man, not just Christians, man himself, should have a high value of life. But one thing that has taken that away is evolution. Because if all I see in a human being is an animal, it makes it a whole lot easier to kill them, don't it? If I have bought into that, I don't see sanctity of life. I don't see a human being. I see somebody that's just an animal walking around, and when I kill them, they go to the dirt. That's it. And they become plant food. But they don't bring the fact in that we're all made in the image of God. So evolution has done a lot of harm in this area here. A lot of harm. I mean, we're in the mess. Look at all the mess we got going on now. We got the Kirk thing going on. That may last another 5 years. Who knows? But it's just crazy. And you get up in the mornings and you read of this guy killed this guy, this guy killed this guy, it's crazy. Yeah, we are a culture of death. I think it's very apropos for our society that we have all this in our country. So man is to respect life. We're to protect it. We're to cherish life. And we're not to take the life of another wrongly or in the wrong way. The Hebrew word here, as we said, this is, you can murder, no unlawful killing. Thou shalt not murder. Now, we understand that while all murder is killing, all killing is not murder. All murder is killing, but all killing is not murder. All killing is not murder. Murder is more than just taking a life. Murder is far more than just taking a life. Murder can be defined as a premeditated and intentional taking of another person's life. Now, we're not talking about manslaughter. We're talking about Deuteronomy situation. You intentionally, you premeditated. That's certainly murder. So this is not just a coverall, which means any kind of killing. It's a specific term. Unlawful, immoral killing. It's never, ever used for acts of war in the Bible. It is never used for capital punishment in the Bible. It is never used as self-defense in the Bible. It is always used in the context of immoral, premeditated murder, and in some instances, manslaughter, where God provides a way for the person to flee. So again, it is not forbidding the death penalty, because death penalty is a sentence against the crime of murder. Sentence against the crime of murder. It is not a command forbidding war. It's not a call for pacifism. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. And we see that in the Old Testament. Now, God gives the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Why would he give order to kill? You remember in Nehemiah 4, remember they had some problems with Sanballat and Tobias. They were building the wall. And, you know, we say, well, I don't need to protect myself. God will protect me. We pray, God will take care of it. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. But don't use that and think that is scriptural. When you go to Nehemiah 4, they're building the wall. They pray to God. If you go there, you see they pray to God for his protection, his watch gear. Pray to God that he will confuse Sanballat and Tobias. But then he tells the families, get your bows and your arrows, your spears. Why? Why do that? And then later on it says, now we place it in the hands of God. So you pray, you prepare, then you place it in God's hands. Why would they do that? Why would they take the spears and all? For self-defense. Being attacked to protect themselves and protect what they were doing. Now, I know there's a few different views on this, but you remember the first time that Christ sent out his disciples And he told them what to take. Thanks in Mark 4:7, I'm sure. He told them what to take. Later on, he sends them out, and then he says, sell your robe and buy a sword. Why? Now, there are two views on this. The first view is that it would fulfill Isaiah 53:12. He was among the transgressors. In other words, what those say, well, he was with those that were a rebellious group that had swords, and he went to the garden, and of course that's where Peter cut the ear off, but he was among the transgressors, the disciples being the transgressors. The other view is the transgressors would be the two on the cross with him. Now the other view is that later on, the disciples' lives were in danger more because of the message he was preaching, and it was much more hostility toward them. So he says, sell your robe and get a sword. Could be that. Could be that. In the New Testament, God gave authority to governments in Romans 13 to bear the sword. Now why? What's a sword? It wasn't to cut a cake with. What was it for? It was punishment for evil. He said they do not bear the sword. In other words, the government has the right to use the sword not only for administering justice, but also for protection and defense of the land. He gave them the right in Romans 13. And so this command is not forbidden war in all cases. Now, it must be a just war. In fact, God says when you go to war with a city, offer peace first. If they don't listen, so be it. So you always do that. But this is talking about just war that he's talking about over in Romans 13. It is forbidding any act of violence against an individual out of hatred, malice, personal gain, deception, whatever the circumstances that surround it, whatever method results in death, even if the person is not attempting to kill. That's the idea of this word over here in Exodus chapter 20. There's to be no unsanctioned killing. We're never to take a human life unless we know we're acting under the authority of God's word. Capital punishment? Yes. A just war? Yes. Self-defense? Yes. Now really, and we'll have to stop, really, this commandment is not really about taking life as it is preserving life. The commandments that God gives to us, capital punishment, is that killing? Why does God allow that? Why does he say in Genesis 9:6, why does he, if a man sheds a person's blood, he is to give his own blood. He is to be killed. Is that just to kill the person, or is it a preservation for life? Is it a deterrent for anyone else who would think about murdering? Sure. Is it a way to stop him from going out and killing somebody else? What about war? If we know that, yes, we have to do something or they're going to kill us. Are we killing them? Are we preserving them? There's a lot of things that come into play with this. That's why this is not a generic term. This is not a one fits all here. So, no taking of life without the authority of God, yes. We make sure that it falls within the confines. Suicide is wrong, period. Abortion is wrong, period. Euthanasia, mercy killing, is wrong, period. Because it is not authorized in God's Word. None of that is authorized in God's Word. And for a person to do that is wrong. That falls under Exodus 20 and verse 13. It falls under that commandment. So, again, life can be taken, but only when it falls under the confines of God's Word. Now, today, as Christians, we need to get that. But there are a lot that don't get that. A lot that don't get that. So, self-defense, just wars, the administration of justice, as Romans 13 tells us, capital punishment, they fall within the confines or boundary of God's Word. So the command here, when we look at this command, has a kind of twofold thing here when it says this. The Christian should view life as sacred. And we should do everything in our power to protect life, because we cherish life and because we are made in the image of God. And it is God who gives life. And God takes life. And sometimes it is through those who bear the sword. Sometimes it is through capital punishment. Sometimes it is through self-defense. He does. But we as a Christian, at the very foundation, we are to protect life because we cherish life. We should speak up against abortion. We should be dead set against that. We should be dead set against mercy killing. That is God. That's God's hand. And we cannot be God. We cannot be God when it comes to that. Because that's exactly what we do. We take the place of God when that happens. We take the place of God in abortion. We take the place of God in euthanasia. We take the place of God in suicide. We become God. We become God. God is the one who gives life, and human life belongs to God. Secondly, we've got to act in accordance with God's Word. Now, there are those who would take that and they say, killing is killing and killing is wrong. That settles it. Well, they don't understand Scripture, and that is not the position of Scripture. It is not the position of Scripture. Now, we don't like it. We don't like killing, but that's not the position of Scripture. It is not that all killing is bad if it's done under the confines of God's Word. So why does God allow any kind of killing at all? Because He preserves life, as we just said a few minutes ago. It's not so much taking a life. It's preserving life. It's preserving for them not to go and kill, take more lives. How many? I'm trying to think in Ecclesiastes. He also says if sentence is not carried out speedily, evil will grow. Now I can tell you, that is not happening in this country. How many we read about that have killed somebody, raped somebody, did all kinds of things, and they're right back doing it again? Well, we gotta stop. Because if we keep on, I'll be here forever. Christ says something about this, doesn't he? Christ says something about this in His Word about murdering and all. Turn over to Matthew 5, and we'll close here. But I want to get to this. Because you know you're going to think about this when we read that command. Matthew 5, if you notice verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. No, we just read that. Exodus 20:13. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Okay? Now remember, he's using the commandment and what that command, unlawful, immoral killing. Okay? I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, that's interesting, isn't it? Without a cause. Shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. These are insults, by the way. Okay. Now, notice in that in these, we realize that, I hope, nobody here, we would think of that commandment to land. That's one commandment I've kept. I don't think anybody's killed anybody. And say, well, I know I've kept that. Have we? You know, Jesus taught that outward sins, such as murder, adultery, theft, lying, slander, every one of those come from the heart. They all start in the heart. You're not thinking. Sinful actions always begin there. Therefore, while most of us would think that we are incapable of doing what Exodus 20 verse 13 says, and we would look at ourselves and say, well, I wouldn't dare do that. But if we have bitterness, if we have anger, if we have malice, you know what that does? That is the root that grows into murder. You think about it. That's the root that can very easily grow into murder. Human courts today, we got court situations going on. In human courts today, they judge and punish upon what they see, the actions they presented in court. They have videos, they have films, all that. They judge and punish upon what they see, but they don't see the heart. In human court today, that's the only way they can judge what they see, but they don't see the heart. God sees the heart. God sees the heart. So basically what he's saying here, man, you may not do this outwardly, but God sees the heart, and what he sees there is what? A root of murder. And God looks at the heart. And so a person that carries anger and bitterness and malice toward any person, they have that root that can certainly lead to murder. So we can't hide what God can see. Suppose a person gets angry at someone. I mean, they absolutely get angry. So angry, they say, I could kill that person. But they are stopped from doing it because of some circumstances. Is he innocent of this commandment? Not in God's eyes. If we get so angry, somebody, and we in our heart say, I could kill them, but something prevents that. Or they get so angry in their heart, they would kill them if they knew that it wouldn't get caught. Afraid of getting caught. People can get to that point. Christians can get to that point. David got there, didn't he? Went out of anger. It was out of lust, greed. Had somebody killed, didn't he? Now he getting committed himself. He didn't do that. Maybe we're just, we don't know what's in a person's heart, do we? I mean, I hear pastors killing a person. I hear that. And the things they do. Heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Only God. Only God. Well, what if a person just, they hate a person so bad, they insult them, like Christ uses here. He said it's the same as murder in your heart because it's the root of it. Well, are they innocent? No, Christ says you're not. But here's the good thing. When you go after this, Christ says, here's the way you handle it. Here's the way you handle it. And so the next few verses he talks about Before you go to the altar, before you go worship, take care of it. You reconcile to your brother or your sister, or whoever it is. Yeah, there's a reconciliation. You work it out. And you get that mess out of your heart that could easily lead to murder. So that's why Christ is saying that's just as guilty as, I mean, it's in your heart. You just didn't do the outward act. But you might have been on the verge of it. Now, I'm not saying y'all have, I'm just saying a person may be on the verge of it. And they must think, well, I could have killed that person, you know. Well, Satan take a hold of that and run with it, can't he? Well, let's stand and we'll be dismissed.